Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is actually a room full of people, and we're going to be talking collectively about a catechetical program that has become very important, especially for mothers with young children. Before we get into that, though, Father Gerald Horan, who is always involved with us when we do virtually anything having to do with education in the Diocese of Orange, is with us. And Father, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer, I think all of us would be greatly appreciative.
Thanks, Rick. I'm delighted to be back. And let's turn to God, who watches over us with a shepherd's care, and ask his attention and presence in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord our God, you guide and protect your holy people. You gather us as your flock and you lead us in the ways of faith. We pray your blessing upon ourselves, upon all who are listening to our reflections and thoughts today, and all who seek to follow you in the ways of the gospel. We pray your blessing, your protection, your safety, and your hope in their lives. And all of this we pray in and through the risen Savior, our brother and our Lord. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Father. And around me today is, as I said, a whole bunch of people. Katie Dawson is back. And Katie, you work with Father doing things educational for youth, but also for young adults, as I recall.
And children. Elementary and adults.
And then we have Annette Venegas, who is a trained catechist. In what's this program called again?
It's Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. We're going to explore all that in just a moment. And then we have two moms who are working within this program. And I'd like Elise Pascal. Elise, what's your background in this?
We first discovered the atrium through St. Vincent de Paul in Huntington Beach. And when my son was about 4 years old, he's now 11, and I have 6 girls behind him. And they have all begun in the atrium sometime between ages 3 and 5,
wow,
depending upon their readiness level. And they're all in now, minus my baby.
That's fantastic. And then we also have Daniela Aquino.
Yes.
And Daniela, how have you been involved in this program?
I'm Katie Dawson's assistant in the Department of Parish Faith Formation, and we run trainings for catechists for CGS. And so that's how I first learned about the program. And after seeing the people getting trained for the program, I really wanted my own children to be involved. So my children started this year in the atrium at St. Vincent de Paul.
Father, how does this program fit into the overall structuring of catechesis for youth in our diocese?
Well, one of the things that we're concerned about as we look at the broad spectrum and the trends across the diocese is that there has been sort of a steady decline in enrollment in parish religious education programs. And so part of the work of our office is that we're constantly looking for good quality programs that are meaningful and engaging for the young people and that really help them in the process of faith. Over the last, I think this year we had about a 3% decline, but over the last 7 years we've noticed almost a 20% decline in enrollment in the early years. And so in order to sustain and to continue to grow the church and to bolster up and strengthen the commitment of young people, we're looking for programs that address their needs and that really get them involved in the questions of faith. And we've really found that in a lot of ways in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. My colleagues and friends here can tell you a little bit about the origins of that program, but it's a program that's not only national but international, and really is very kid-friendly and impresses upon young people the message and the truth of faith in a way that sticks in their memory. A lot of our concentration in strengthening the faith, as the church documents suggest, is with cultivating faith in the adult population, but we need at the same time to be working with our young people. It's not an either-or proposition. We need to be building the whole church. And so we really find this is a very effective and an exciting way to draw young people into the life of the faith community.
Katie, my background in education includes just enough to know how taxing and troublesome it is to try to pick curricular programming. What attracted you to this particular program in order to solve this problem that Father just outlined of the decline of the significant decline of young Catholic children in catechesis? What's so great about this program as opposed to the other ones?
Well, I think the stories that families tell of the way that their children fall in love with Jesus in this process, and the wholehearted engagement that children find in the atrium, which is the space that is created for catechesis, the Good Shepherd. And we should mention it is a Montessori method, so it involves some significant quantities of materials that the children are allowed to work with. We do call it their work. It's their.
So for those people who are not really initiated too much into primary grade type education, Montessori is known for having a lot of hands-on tactile things that you can work with material for the kids. And it's generally at an almost do-it-at-your-own-pace type of an approach. So there's a real physical engagement of the children in the learning at the Montessori style. So this is a little bit different from some of the other styles, which often have more of a directed didactic approach, didactic meaning almost a taught from above approach. This is more of an experience from the bottom approach. Is that close to how this program also works?
Yeah, that's a good description. The space for catechesis of the Good Shepherd is typically a dedicated space that has smaller versions of everything you would find in the church.
And, oh, that's cool.
And it also has figurines and models of geographical locations, and then it has drawing materials and counting materials. But typically, a catechist in the atrium would gather a group of children around a particular set of materials and tell them a story, and she would use the materials to illustrate the story. So, for example, she might teach them about the Last Supper, and there would be little figurines of the apostles gathered around the table, and she would tell that story. Or she would tell them the story of the Good Shepherd, and there would be little sheep marching around the table. And then the children are invited to come back and work with those materials later on their own. And it is amazing the intensity with which children engage in that work with those materials.
And we've been encouraging the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, for about 7 years now, I think? And we've got atriums in about how many locations?
I think we're at 8, and we expect add an additional space in one of those. And then there will be one more school establishing an atrium this year.
So when we're talking about these atriums, you're essentially saying that there's a dedicated space at the parish level for this program to be grounded and have its own little life.
Yes.
Well, and one of the things that the children really experience is the notion of sacred space, that the atrium is a sacred space. They don't go in there without praying first, and they really come to respect the atrium, the place where they learn about religion and about religious faith, about Bible things, and about the story of the Mass and the structure of the Mass. it's a sacred space, and so it's a guided prayer experience, a real entry into sacredness, into God's time.
So this is a way of trying to initiate these very young children into a sacramentality, the idea that we have the presence of God physically with us and the spiritual, physical dynamic we Catholics love so much, but the rest of the world has difficulty with.
Well, and it's really making very adult concepts and complicated things available in simple language, that, you know, kind of building block language. And Nancy Hardy, who used to work in our office, she told me once about a young person who came out of the atrium and said, well, in going to Mass, he said, well, wasn't that a wonderful anamnesis? Well, that's kind of complicated language for a young tiger to be sharing something like that. But through their experience of the sacred, they enter into and grasp the concept. So it's getting us beyond, you know, memorizing the catechism or knowing formulas or reciting dogmas and rules, but really experiencing the sacred and entering into that experience.
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, and we're talking about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Did I say that correctly?
That's
okay,
right.
Everyone's nodding their head. And this Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a program that is geared toward young people to engage them very directly in the experience of Christ at a very young age. When we come back, I want to shift gears just a little bit, get out of planning, get into some of the reality of what's been behind it. You're listening again to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is a whole bunch of people. But we're focused as a group on a catechetical program that was brought about in our diocese to solve a festering problem of decline of enrollment of young people, very young people, in catechesis. And that was about 7 years or so ago. And one of the things we've been talking about is that this program, this Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is what I guess it's called, that it has been engaging and it's been working well. So I want to shift gears a little bit away from our administrative types and talk a little bit about this to the people who are in the trenches. So I want to go, first of all, to you, Annette. Annette Benegas is a trained catechist in this program. Annette, tell me, first of all, what got you involved in this program? What's your story on this?
Well, sure. I actually also work as a program assistant for the Office of Parish Faith Formation. And the previous director, Nancy Hardy, one of the first things that she showed me was the training atrium that we had at the diocese. And I just fell in love with the space.
So there was no whip by your boss. This was something you actually liked to do.
No, it was. It's an enchanting space, and anyone who has been in the atrium will automatically feel that there's something just profoundly sacred about the space. So that was my introduction. And from there, she offered me the opportunity to be trained as a catechist, which was on a personal level actually an opportunity for further conversion for me, even as an adult who's been Catholic her entire life. And then I was just...
Oh, wait, I want to comment on that. The best way for a Catholic to enhance their relationship with God is to have to teach this stuff to someone else. You really then have to soul search, what do you really believe? And if you're going to do it to children, you've got this whole other moral thought that goes on, too. Am I right?
Right. I mean, I think that would be true of any catechesis, but there is something so profound about this method. And I think it just really introduces the person into the mystery in a way that I have yet to encounter with any other form of catechesis. And so on a personal level, I felt blessed to be able to go through the training myself and that there was such a thing available for our church and for our children. So to me, it was really beautiful.
What was involved in your training? What kinds of things did they do that was different from regular catechetical training?
So essentially, as people who are being trained as catechists of this method, we actually experience the presentations as if we ourselves were the children in the atrium. So there's a trainer who offers us the presentations, and then we kind of afterwards break it down and we go through what the method was and what the theory is, because there's actually a lot of science, if you will, behind this, because Sofia Cavalletti and Gianna Gobbi, who founded this method in Rome in the 1950s, actually observed children for decades to see what the children were responding to and what was most effective. So it's not only that it's children in the atrium with figurines, but it's actually a tried and true method that's been studied over many, many years.
So this is an actual focused method with all with its design guidelines. How long did you go for this training, and what were your impressions about the process itself?
So there are different methods by which one could be trained, but I was trained over a one-year period with intensive sessions at two summers on each end. Okay. And so you can be trained in, like I said, a different method. You can be trained more intensively through weekends throughout the year. So it depends on what your group schedules are like. But for us, that's how it was. And my impression, like I said previously, was just that it was transformative for me, that it was effective, and that it was actually it allowed the child to go deeper than simply the intellect, but really brought it to the heart of the child and allowed the child to also respect the mystery that's the child already feels drawn to God. So the method begins from the understanding that the child doesn't need to be taught about God. The child knows God. Simply they need further ways to understand what they're already experiencing.
So this is not something that you can just get more catechists to come in and get a quick training and throw them in with the lions, so to speak, which we Catholics have had a history of doing, not in this diocese, I'm sure, ever, but there, we've done this before to catechists. You can't really do that with this method, can you?
You need more than just a warm body. And effective catechesis requires a guide, you know, in the ways of faith. You know, we sometimes say that the Lord makes disciples one by one. And so we're not in just a one fell swoop going to reverse a trend. The children aren't coming to catechism because parents are less interested, and so we can't change the whole culture. But one by one, if we can convert and interest young people and get them engaged and involved, then we're making slow and meaningful progress.
And Katie, you're talking, though, about a year-long process to train these catechists. That's quite a sizable commitment. So how many do we have up and operating again, did you say? And what's the planning for the rest of this as it goes forward?
Well, we have about 120 trained catechists in the diocese at this point. And it is an investment of time. It takes about 100 hours of training.
Wow.
To complete the level one training to work with age 3 to 6. And then if you wish to work with an older age group, you have to begin with that level one training, because that's what really gives you the understanding of the method.
So that builds then on step by step.
Right. So level two is probably 75 or 80 hours in addition to level one training. And similarly, level three is another 75 to 80 hours of training.
Wow.
So it's quite an investment of time.
So I want to get to the moms in just a moment to see what your reaction has been to all of this. Annette, I want to get your experience in all this. So you've been doing this for how long?
Well, I was trained about 3 years ago, and actually right now I'm not serving in an atrium, but through our office I'm involved in several of the trainings and helping support the parishes who are actively working in the atrium.
What are you hearing out there from the parishes that are involved?
Honestly, I think everyone I've heard from just has something positive to say, both for the parents, for the children, about how it's deepened their faith, about how it's drawn them closer to God. I have nothing negative really to respond. It does take a lot of work. It takes a lot of time and it takes dedicated catechists, but my experience is that once people fall in love with the method and that leads them to fall in love deeper with Jesus, they only have good things to say about it.
Well, moms, let me ask you this. What's been your experience so far with this program? Both of you have had different exposures to the program. Let's get a quick nut, you know, in the nutshell as to what you have experienced so far.
After helping run the trainings in the diocese, I wanted to get my own children involved in CGS. And it's been very beneficial, especially for my oldest son, who has several disabilities. The hands-on methodology is really beneficial for him. It's really helped him to thrive and really helped to develop his relationship with Jesus. They recently learned about the gesture of epiclesis, and he insists now that we sit as close to the altar as possible because he wants to witness that himself during the Mass. And I was watching him yesterday, and I could see him picking up on the themes of the Good Shepherd during the Gospel. And also I saw him mouthing along during the consecration, following along with the priest. So it's amazing to see him learning the rituals, the beauty of the Mass, and it's very personal for him. And he also sees the altar servers, and he wants to be an altar server now, and he's dying to receive Eucharist, and he doesn't understand why he can't receive it now. So it's amazing to see that he really wants that for himself.
Wow. Yeah. And you, Elise?
Well, I'm going to second what she said, but we have 5 children in the atrium right now, and a 6th who literally wants to go in.
Kind of looking from a distance.
She's always peeking through the window watching, and she gets to go in the beginning before their class time begins, and she gets to sit in the circle time and the prayer time with them and sing the songs and do the prayers.
That's important, though, because there's a patterning that's going on there that's important
to
pass on.
Yes, and she just this morning came up, my husband and I were doing morning prayers, and she said, "Daddy, can I sing Jesus is Bubbling Over?" And so she sat in the middle of our living room, you know, and did the atrium song. But in terms of the process of the atrium, they do the presentation, but then it's very child-led. And so my kids, they will talk to me about what they're going to do in the atrium that day, or they'll have a personal desire to go to specific stations in the atrium, and then you can see them go and own it. And they own it for themselves. And just in Mass on Sunday, my daughter leaned over and she said, "Jesus is here now, Mom." You know, because she knew. She's 6 years old, but she knew that because of her training in the atrium, she knew what had just occurred during the consecration in the Mass. So,
you know, it's been very interesting. I'm a convert to the faith as an adult. And in looking at how the faith was catechized 2 generations ago, using Baltimore catechisms and some very specific rights and wrongs about how to go about instructing versus how we do it today, the older method left you with a very clear understanding of this is right and this is wrong, but not necessarily at a deep experienced level. And the problem with doing just general catechesis can often be a loss of what is right and wrong because we're all doing all this experiential. What's been described so far has been a very interesting amalgam where it sounds like you've got some very clear catechesis that is experienced by the kids. When we come back, I want to re-engage with that a little bit, and then I want to talk a little bit more not only about your experience as moms, but I want to hear a little bit more about what this has meant to the church and how it has had some success. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. Surrounding me are Katie Dawson, Annette Venegas, Daniela Aquino, Elise Pascal, and of course Father Jerry Horan. And we're talking about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is a program that has come to our diocese about 7 years ago, but is becoming more and more popular because of its hands-on work with catechizing the youngest members of our parishes. So come back when we return from the break, and we'll talk more about how that is succeeding in our churches.
The Singing Priest, Father Kevin McGoldrick, is coming to Christ Cathedral Friday, May 19th in Fried Theater. Father Kevin has been a priest for over 10 years and a musician for over 30. When he became a priest, he thought he'd have to give up music, but the Lord had other plans, and for that, we all benefit. Sponsored by Santiago Retreat Center and Catholics at Work OC. Tickets just $15. For more info, go to thesingingpriest.eventbrite.com. That's thesingingpriest.eventbrite.com.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you through the good offices and good studios of Immaculate Heart Radio here in beautiful Garden Grove, California. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today with Father Jerry Horan, who is always with us when we're talking about things having to do with catechesis, are 4 women who are sharing with us their experience with a unique program called the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And not too long ago, we had the Good Shepherd Sunday where we were discussing the tender pastoral care of Jesus, who goes after the littlest of lambs in order to make sure they all come home. And I'm kind of curious, especially starting with you moms, How successful do you think this is in generating a faith, both in the children that are engaged and, frankly, I'm interested in how the parents are engaged and whether or not this is working? How are we doing on this?
Well, I think that in just the short period of time in the big picture, you know, 7 years that we've been involved, I've watched parents that were, and we've all come up in it together. You know, there's a group of families at our church that have really come up in it together. And things that have stood out to me the most are situations where we'll be in a prayer service, for instance. Rose will ask us, Rose Antonoli, who's our director of faith formation in our parish, she's awesome. She's brought the program to us, and we're also grateful. But she will ask the children to pray over their parents and then ask the parents to pray over their children. And you can look around at first and see that these people don't know what they're doing. You know, they've never done this with their children before. And then you see this transformation occur when they lay the hands on and they're talked through it, but then they don't need any help. You know, it's a very natural thing. And it's a process that I think is transforming the families. I've noticed that our church has come alive since the atrium has been there.
How successful do you think this has become for your parish? This began about 7 years. You were the pilot program in the diocese about 7 years ago or so?
We were.
And how much has it grown since then?
Well, when we first began, they had one classroom, very tiny classroom, and there were a few families that began in the program. Now, St. Vincent de Paul has had to build a new building, and they're expanding again so that the atrium can have a place of its own, because back in the early days, volunteers that were so dedicated would come and set the entire atrium up for every class and then break it all down again for every class. And it was hours and hours of labor for these women and men that did this.
So in other words, they take a place in the hall or wherever?
Well, no, they have classrooms. Okay. They have classrooms. But the classrooms weren't dedicated specifically for the atrium. Now the entire, nearly the entire lower half of our building is specific for the atrium.
Wow.
And there are hundreds of children now doing it.
Roughly how many would you say are probably involved?
I think around 400. I could be wrong.
Wow.
But we've had to turn away, not me specifically, but our parish has had to make the program specific to parishioners and now there's a waiting list for non-parishioners because there's such a high demand.
So the solution to that is to enhance and increase the program, I assume.
I'm guessing there's a strong need for volunteers.
Well, and to expand it into the neighboring parishes
exactly.
as well, because people are migrating to St. Vincent de Paul because they see that they have this amazing opportunity.
And that's something that I think hopefully will be watched by the pastors and the catechetical directors of these other parishes, that if this program is working as well as what you're describing, that this is something that is a boon for all these parishes. We're always focused on the ministry and message of Jesus Christ, but there's a certain bottom line as well where you want the people in the doors. And my goodness, if the parents are able to bring their children because they've got a program like this, that's going to enliven everybody. So from what I'm hearing, the way you described just this encounter where we had prayer by the children of the parents of the children, there's a good engagement for the children. What about the engagement of the parents in this program? What are you seeing about that, moms? And I realize you two don't count, because if you're here in my studio, you're already exemplary. But what are you hearing from the people around you?
The program at St. Vincent de Paul is pretty amazing because Rose has factored in parent involvement in the program. And she's offered retreats for parents throughout Advent, throughout Lent. There's all kinds of community events for parents and families to attend together. She also requires that parents attend at least one Alpha session. So,
what's an Alpha session?
Well, Alpha is a presentation of the core truths of the gospel. So I would say that St. Vincent de Paul is trying to ensure that parents actually understand what they're getting into.
So everyone's on the same page.
Exactly.
Okay. And the Alpha program is more targeted at adult catechesis and discipleship.
Well, they're realizing that so many of these parents are bringing their children for baptism, and then for First Communion, and then we're not seeing them again until they need to be confirmed. And the problem is not with the children, it's with the heart of the parent. And so Alpha really is allowing people to reconnect with Christ at a very personal level. And it's not necessarily about apologetics. It's about God is a God who loves you. And so that Alpha is just allowing people to become in a personal relationship with Christ so that they can bring that personal relationship to their children.
So it's a kind of a hybrid of catechesis and evangelism for the new evangelization to try to make sure that we have everyone really engaging Christ at the heart level. So with that in mind, this program then, when we're talking about successes on this, have we outgrown what it's able to produce at this point in the parishes where it's operating? What is the thought right now? So those of you who are actually working with it, with the planning, what's the thought on this?
Well, we continue to encourage pastors and directors of faith formation to consider the investment of the time and space that they need in order to establish the atrium. As you heard, it optimally has a dedicated space. A lot of times there's some resistance to heading in that direction because a parish simply will, the pastor or the director will say, well, we just don't have the space. And Rose Antignoli did do amazing and heroic work at St. Vincent de Paul in the early years with this setting up and tearing down because she had fallen in love with the method and she saw its potential. But we continue to encourage pastors and directors in that direction. We offer open houses and training, and we have ongoing training for catechists.
It's certainly a big sacrifice for a parish community to give up space because competition for space among different organizations is kind of optimal, but so it's a big sacrifice for a parish. But I think our work won't really be done until there's an atrium in every parish. I really do believe that that this method is drawing young people in and has both potential and value in every parish community. And so we're about 5 down and 55 to go in our growth plan. So we're still pioneers.
How many parishes with a parish school are engaged with this? Are there any?
There are three parishes, St. Edward's, Mission Basilica, and St. Columban's have had atriums for the past 5 or 6 years.
Are those dedicated spaces in those areas? Because I know that on most schools, now St. Edward's is a huge school, as I recall, and it's got a lot of resources. But I would assume most of the parishes, what you outlined earlier, Father, would probably be a very grave concern.
I think each of those parish schools have kind of done a hybrid in their space. So they've got a, which is not optimal because that makes it difficult to teach the children that the atrium is a set aside area. But they're doing the best they can with the space that they have available, and they are using the method.
It must be difficult to have pastors sold on something that if they're going to dedicate the space for, we're talking years of dedication, which means it's being taken away from the usage of other things, especially when you've got so many people that are competing for that space.
Yes, but there's probably no better investment of church resources or facilities than growing the church in this way. I mean, if we're really making disciples, then it's worth it.
And I think when a leader is really convinced of the potential benefits of the method, then sometimes creativity is needed. For example, in my parish in LA, we have meeting rooms that have cupboards ringing the perimeter, which could easily be used to house the materials. And you could use it as a flexible space. You could set it up more easily. Now, Rose actually had to push boxes around on casters, and they didn't have that kind of...
And women that would bring, you know, Jenny Kavinsky is an atrium teacher, and she's been doing this since the beginning, and she would bring all the stuff home and bring it back and tirelessly clean it all to keep it germ-free for the children. And, you know, it's just, it has been a labor of love that began with Rose's desire to bring this to our diocese. And it has, I just wish every church would rub elbows with her to figure out how to get it to the kids in their parishes, because it's so integral to the success of these children.
Wow. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is a very inspired group of people talking about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And the program has been revolutionary for the people that have been involved with it, so that the children who otherwise, had they been part of the group 10 years ago, would probably be part of the group falling away, these parents and catechists are talking about growth and success, where not only the children are engaged, but the parents are as well. When we come back, I want to talk about what you see as the best part of this program, and we will be right back. And welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today has been a packed room filled with very enthusiastic supporters of a catechetical program that has revolutionized how young people are introduced to the love and ministry of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. And part of this group have been parents. We've had catechists. We've had administrators. We have our Father Jerry Horan. And we're talking about how well this program has answered a need. As we began at the beginning of the program, Father, you outlined that we saw steady decline in the numbers of young children that were being enrolled in catechesis. And now it's been described, in fact, you ladies, you mothers, have talked about how since this program has been introduced at your parish, at St. Vincent de Paul, that it's now standing room only and there's a waiting list for people to get in. And in fact, you need to register with the parish if you're going to get in. So if you don't have your envelopes, you're not getting in, at least for now. Though we've been assured that we're working on trying to spread this to our surrounding parishes where possible. This reminds me very much of a philosophical speech I used to give at the beginning of every school year when I was a principal. And the point was that in Catholic schools, we have your child from TK or kindergarten up through about eighth grade, and that's assuming you don't go into high school. And during that roughly 9 years, if you only have one child, you parents are engaged with other parents, and you're running each other to school, and you're getting homework, and you're taking care of other people's kids when the parents are gone, and you're having celebrations and birthday parties and chickenpox parties and friendships that are growing and developing so that this becomes an important integral part of the parish. And in fact, the ministry of a Catholic school is so much not just about the kids, it's about the entire family. And what's intriguing me about your program here is that in a very different way, but in a way a very similar way, you're eliciting a very similar type of thing, I think, where you've got the parents and the children growing together as Catholics in a parish community, building those bonds, which is so important to us as Catholics, where it's not enough for us to be lone rangers for Christ out there. We're all part of the body of Christ, a community. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you, what's been the most important or significant thing that this has taught you or has impressed you with this program? And I want to start with the moms on this one. What's been perhaps the one thing you could say that has been so incredibly good about this program?
For me, it's been seeing the relationship my children have developed with Jesus and the deepening of their faith. I remember about a year ago going to Mass, and my youngest, right after communion, you know, it's quiet in the church, and he yells out, "Are we done yet?" Like, he was just not, he was not engaged. But now,
sorry, Father, but your servant did engage.
Exactly. And, you know, you're cowering your head in shame because, you know, your children are speaking up like this.
They're for the mouth of babes.
Exactly. So, but now they're so engaged that they want to be there at the Mass. My son is pointing out the paten and the
chalice.
Isn't
that wonderful?
And yeah, it's amazing to see that this is where he wants to be, and it trickles over to the rest of our lives. They want to pray when we're at home at night. They want to help others when they see people in need.
Get them the Necco wafers so we can have a little
exactly. Yeah, and my son is going, next year he'll be going through discernment for First Communion, and they actually get to decide if they're ready. And I think that's very empowering at such a young age that they are in control of their faith. And I think that's going to carry over as they grow older.
Wow. That's a very inspiring lesson to have learned from this program. What about you?
Well, that's a tough one to follow. That's really beautiful. But our family has had the great pleasure of watching three of our children now receive their sacraments through the atrium. And having gone to First Communions at other churches and just seeing how it's really about the dresses and getting the pictures and things like that, which is good that those children are receiving Jesus, but to actually see my children receive Christ for the first time through the process that has been established in the atrium, it has been so transformative for our family because it is about the child wanting it. And it's about the child deciding in their hearts, I'm ready for Jesus, and knowing what they're doing.
A direct engagement.
Yes. Wow. And we have, now that we have three children that have received the sacraments, and they're only 11, 10, and 9, but the maturity, they're sometimes more mature than my husband and I are in terms of their faith.
Honesty.
It's humbling. It's humbling to see that they really, really own it, and they love Christ, and they want to go. You know, my son's always saying, can we get to the atrium early today? Or he cry. He won't cry, but they'll cry if somebody gets sick and we can't go to the atrium.
Oh,
you
no.
know, they want to go. And I think vocations are going to spring from this more than we're going to see this really start to boom vocations.
Most especially if they have the parent support that you're all expressing. What about you as a catechist? What have you seen?
Well, I think a word that we can use and that Sophia Cavaletti does use in her book, The Religious Potential of the Child, that talks about this whole method, and you can see in this anecdotes that it truly, the method corresponds to the desire of the child for God. And so we see the fruit of that. The child desires God, and the method allows the child to come into this encounter. And then in several stories, what you see is that children actually prefer to be in the atrium or to be at Mass, as these moms were sharing with us, than things that we would typically expect a child to want to be doing, like playing with toys or playing video games. In fact, the desire is so deep for God that the child, once introduced to the method, actually desires to be there more than anywhere else.
It's fantastic. Katie, you are kind of in charge of this program. What has impressed you with it most?
Well, I think I said at the beginning, the stories. It's easy in the hustle and bustle of organizing classes and programs and setting up structures to overlook the fact that we are dealing with the spiritual life of young children, and that they come to the atrium with a pre-existing relationship with God that we are nurturing. In the process of catechesis, the Good Shepherd, or any other catechetical method, what we are trying to do is connect the child with Christ and to nurture their relationship. And it's a beautiful thing when you see a child fall in love with Jesus.
Father, we haven't said it in this particular setting, but you're actually on the diocesan level in charge of everything having to do with education and catechesis for the diocese. As everyone's kind of like, ooh, but that actually, if take the authority away from a ball, but we're going to just ask the humbling question. What's so great about this one amongst all the other ones that you've seen? What stood out about this for you?
I think the great thing about it is, as we've heard in the stories and experiences that we've shared, that it both respects and cultivates the experience of the child. It engages them, it draws them in, and it's not just having them recite and understand information, but it's inviting them into an experience of knowing the Lord and really, really entering into the sacred. And so often, I'm not trying to criticize other typical religious ed programs, but I hear first confessions and engage with young people, and some of them aren't even really sure why they're there. Somebody pushed them into a chair and said, go talk to the priest. And I say, do you know how to begin? And they just look at me with a blank face. And I see in the way that this program And it's more than a program. It's an experience. It's the beginnings of discipleship. It's really inviting them to know God and to begin to relate to Him and to know that the things about God are important and helpful and valuable.
What strikes me about all of your comments has been just how relational this particular program really is, that it's, as you said, Father, it's really understood as being more than just a catechetical program. It's not just a curriculum. This is an experience, and it's an experience that builds space, it builds community, it brings the parents in, it's church. And I see that as being such a great strength for this program, for Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is right now in 7 parishes, but we're in the process, we're hopeful that we're going to get more soon.
Well, and of course, we can't force feed or demand the parish communities. They have a certain amount of autonomy, so we can't say everybody has to have
the
program.
Well, not in the spirit of this program, anyway.
but we're seeing steady progress, and we're seeing effectiveness in the communities that have made that commitment, and hopefully that in itself will sell the program.
I want to thank all of you for coming in, Katie, Annette, Daniela, Elise, and of course Father Jerry, for sharing this wonderful program that's happening and growing and blooming in the Diocese of Orange. Father, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer and a blessing, I think all of us would be very grateful for that.
Oh Lord our God, you continue in this stage as always to draw people to yourself and invite them to discipleship. And as a good shepherd, you care for us and protect us, you guide us and help us. We pray that you'll continue to guide the growth of your church and to bless the young people in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd and all the young disciples throughout our diocese. Draw them into the ways of faith and help them to find meaning and hope through the message of the gospel. And may Almighty God bless all of our listeners in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And you've been listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today has been Katie Dawson, Annette Venegas, Daniela Aquino, Elise Pascal, and Father Jerry Horan. And we've been talking about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, this dynamic program growing in the Diocese of Orange. And on behalf of all of us here at Orange County Catholic Radio, may God richly bless you, and we'll see you again next week.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.